This show furnished by Rowan, Gervy, and Wynn.
It's time for Gervy's Law, the intersection of law and life, with your host, injury compensation attorney, author, and mentor, Alan Gervy. Alan is managing attorney at the law firm of Rowan, Gervy, and Wynn, a workers' compensation law firm who have represented injured workers for over 35 years. Joined today by his co-host, radio personality, and television host, Kerry Kasem. Kerry brings a fresh, real perspective to the intersection of law and life, turning Murphy's Law upside down. And now, here are Alan Gervy and Kerry Kasem.
A good afternoon, Los Angeles, and everyone who is listening throughout the world on KBC.com. I am Alan Gervy, and I am, as you just heard, the managing partner of the law firm of Rowan, Gervy, and Wynn. We are a workers' compensation firm, and I am the best workers' compensation attorney in the world. I am here right now, right here on Talk Radio 790 KBC with my co-host, the lovely, the talented, the intellectual, Kerry Kasem. Oh, come on now. Kerry, how's it going?
I'm using my intellect and thinking right now. I'll tell you about it after the show.
I can hear you for the first time because Dino lent me his, what are these called?
Headphones.
Headphones. Amazing headphones. You have a great voice.
Oh, thank you. It's only been 2 years?
Yeah, but I've never heard you before. But I got these great headphones from Dino.
I haven't been able to talk.
Thanks, Dino. now you know why you haven't. I never heard you.
How are you doing?
I'm doing great. Good. I'm really excited. You know, tomorrow's Mother's Day. It's a special day.
And I know how close you are with your mom.
I am. And I'm wishing her a very happy Mother's Day. I'm sorry I can't be with her. I was with her last week when we were in Toronto, but she is listening today. So happy Mother's Day, Mom.
She's not cruising? This woman takes more cruises than anyone I know.
She does. She loves to cruise. And if there's a guy out there who wants to cruise with her, she will pay the whole thing. All they have to do is show up and hang out, and she'd be happy to do that.
Well, first they have to be vetted.
Well, they have to be vetted.
So if you're looking for a woman who's very sweet, she's Jewish, she's probably, in her 70s, but she looks like she's in her 60s, and you want a date, and you want to cruise, you know, let's say for the next 10 years, call the show.
Right.
I'm dead serious. We should hook her up.
She's going to be in L.A. this week.
We should hook her up for Mother's Day.
For Mother's Day. That would be nice.
222-5222. Look, if your dad is looking, you know, maybe he's lost his wife and he really wants a sweet woman to kind of travel the world with, 800-222-5222. I'm setting your mom up.
And she would love it. And she appreciates. She loves you, by the way.
I love her, too.
Really appreciate
it. Very sweet woman.
She is going to be in L.A. this week because we are taking her on a special birthday. She's celebrating a special birthday. We're taking her to the Aulani Resort in Hawaii.
Oh, man.
That's the Disney resort. So
your mom has the life. I mean, that's how you're supposed to live when you get older.
Yeah.
The way she lives.
So we are looking forward to it. The two kids, she'll be with her two grandchildren who she loves. There we go. We're listening to
the cruise ship taking off.
This is the Love Boat right here.
Taking off.
There it is. Captain Stubing. That's an old reference, Captain Stubing.
I love the Love Boat. Julie and Captain Stubing. Stubing. Oscar or Isaac.
And Chunk.
Yeah, no, I don't think he was part of the
Who was Chunk? Who was Chunk? I've heard that name
before.
Chunk was
in the Goonies. Remember the Goonies?
I never saw it.
Come on.
Never did.
You're full of it.
I'm not. Who is Chunk?
He was the little fat kid that was so cute that did the thing with his stomach.
Yeah, I don't know what it is.
You
with
are
his
full
stomach.
Of it. I know.
So, do you know that we're having Chunk on our show today?
I do, and I actually wrote it all over my social media. I thought it was so cool, so cool. And you know, when we get him in here and we get him in the studio, I have something to say to him because very interesting. A couple of actors that have in common with him that I think is really, really interesting. But he was what a great film! What a great film!
Now, Spielberg, of course, and Richard Donner, the director.
Absolutely.
It's a classic. Everyone talks about it. I haven't seen it. I'm going to see it after I meet Chunk today.
How could you not see it? You meet Chunk today.
I just love that Chunk.
I'm sure he's just so appreciative of that. You know, I'm on a law show today. I've worked my butt off to get my law degree, and I've written a book. And
yes, he has.
I am, this.
And he is the deal maker of the century.
I'm still being called Chunk.
It's called The Deal Maker's 10 Commandments, The Essential Tools for Business Forged in the Trenches of Hollywood by Jeff B. Cohn.
Yes.
And he is otherwise known as Chunk. But we are going to talk about deal making because in the news this week, of course, was the deal maker of all time, Donald Trump.
Yes.
He is now the presumptive nominee for the Republican Party. And he, you know, we watched him on The Apprentice. And he is known for his deals and his deal making. We're going to talk to Chunk. What's his name?
You know what? Jeff B. Cohen. So listen, I can't wait to talk to this guy because he is an entertainment lawyer. And there's so much in law that I've had to deal with, whether it's making contracts or doing contracts for shows.
Right.
Or literally having shows that I've pitched, that I've created, going in and having every credit ripped from me because a production company wants all the credits. Like,
and that is actually an excellent point, because not only are we having Jeff B. Cohen on the show, but if that wasn't enough, we have Neville Johnson on the show, our old friend Neville Johnson, who's been with us before. He's in New York, and he is known as one of the toughest litigators in this area, which is trying to preserve the rights of writers, actors, directors in terms of royalties and in terms of compensation through the contracts in Hollywood. So we're going to talk about deal making. We're going to talk about what the actors, writers, and directors are perhaps losing out from the big studios. Again, we're talking about big studios that may be exploiting people, believe it or not.
I love how you say that. So dry. Go ahead.
You know, and speaking of that, let's just talk about Jerry Brown for one quick second. Ooh. Because this week he did something with your old business, didn't he?
You know, he actually allowed the FDA to regulate any kind of tobacco products, including vapor.
Right.
And I think it's, you know, you listen to the tobacco lobby so much. And I have to be careful because my stepfather is a lobbyist for tobacco.
Oh, he is for tobacco.
Oh,
so he
is?
Must be in bed with Brown.
You know, I don't know about that. But, you know, it's too bad because it really is all about money. They don't care that people, and all the research has come out that if you switch from tobacco to vapor, that you will probably save your life. And there's so many studies now over the last 10 years that have come out. Not only have doctors come out, research colleges have come out that have studied this, big ones from, you know, Cambridge to Occidental to, I mean, just bigger, you know, saying, look, we've studied this for 2 years. And the people who switched from tobacco to vapor, their lungs healed. They felt better. They had more energy. I'm not saying put anything in your lungs, because putting nothing in your lungs is best, but it's too bad.
And then all I can say.
And then Jerry Brown, I'm really disappointed in the fact that he is forcing vaccines on people. And whether or not I'm for vaccines, that's not even the topic here. It's the fact is, you should not be forced to put something in your body if you don't want it.
Listen, all I can say is that this governor is so married to large money lobby groups like the tobacco industry. I mean, what he has done to injured workers is unbelievable.
That's true.
He has literally killed people.
Yes.
Literally, people have not got their treatment because of these asinine, draconian laws that have utilization review denying treatment for no reason whatsoever from a doctor who's semi-retired in Illinois, couldn't care less, never saw the patient, and everything is being denied. These people are dying. These people are not getting back to work, and they have Jerry Brown to thank. And, of course, the lobbyists from the employers, the large corporations, and the insurance companies. Believe it or not, this guy masquerades as a Democrat like he cares about people. But what he cares about is the money that is changing hands, allowing the laws to benefit big business.
True. Very true and very well said.
And
it's all about money, and it's all people are bought. And we have a bought Congress. We have a bought governor. We have, unfortunately, nobody's really doing things for the right reason. There's altruism is gone.
And this is exactly why Donald Trump has risen in this country to this idol-like figure for many people, notwithstanding his vulgarity, notwithstanding his xenophobia, notwithstanding understanding all of that, but I get it. And for these people who are going to leave the country and go to Canada, and by the way, I'm Canadian, we don't want any of you, especially that girls woman who put that, what's that show together that you probably watch, Girl Dunham, Leah Dunham, or whatever.
Watch it.
Whatever. Canada ain't letting
Never
her in.
Seen an episode.
They're not letting her in. But I'll tell you, you can all leave this country, but you have been behind, all of you have been behind the allowance of big business to totally corrupt the politicians through the Citizens United case and through other cases and through the ability of the legislators to take money and to provide laws that screw the little person. So, you know, God love Donald Trump because he is providing an alternative, regardless of what you think about him. But don't tell me how stupid people are who support him, because people are stupid who support Jerry Brown and the way he takes money and he kills my clients.
Very true.
All right. I have to, before I forget, I do want to wish my wife, Nancy, a happy Mother's Day, because I talked about my mother. She is a wonderful mother to my two little children, Hudson and Harper, and they adore her. I adore her. So happy Mother's Day to Nancy.
And happy Mother's Day to my mom, Linda, and my sister, who's got two children, and to me, who's got two cats.
Yes, and happy,
And happy Mother's Day to all the men and women who have fur children, scaly children, feathered children, little animals
right.
as their children.
Because and I know that Debbie Payne does not have, she's got real children, and we want to wish her a happy Mother's Day, too, as she waves
happy
to
Mother's
us
Day,
in the booth.
Debbie.
Yay, we're all clapping. So we're going to have a great show. We're going to talk about deal making. We're going to talk to Neville Johnson a little bit later. And after the break, none other than Jeff B. Cohn. Stay with us. You're listening to Gervie's Law right here on Talk Radio 790 KBC. Set a course for adventure. Your mind on a new romance. And love won't hurt any person who makes a cause to be made any knowingly false or fraudulent material statement or material representation for the purposes of obtaining workers' compensation benefits is guilty of a felony.
Another day at work. The pain is getting worse, and I'm afraid to say anything because I need this job, and I don't want to get fired. If I wasn't the only one supporting the family, I'd quit.
Is this you? Are you suffering every day while your injuries get worse, and there seems to be nowhere to turn? Or do you have an injury that was brought on gradually by repetitive motion, and now you can't perform your job duties at all? For over 35 years, the law firm of Rowan, Gervey, and Wynn has represented those who have sustained an injury on the job or have become disabled as a result of work. They're the experts in workers' compensation. You need an advocate. You need someone who cares about the injured worker. You need the law firm of Rowan, Gervey, and Wynn to get you through the nightmare. Friends, if you're suffering with a cumulative work injury, the law firm of Rowan, Gervey, and Wynn is in business to help you. Find out more. Call the law firm of Rowan, Gervey, and Wynn, 855-4-RGW-LAW. That's 855-4-RGW-LAW. Or go to rgwlawfirm.com. First consultations are free.
OMG, love this selfie. Bet everyone else will too. Smiley face, hashtag awesome.
I don't think that's what Al Gore had in mind when he invented the internet.
Al Gore invented the internet?
Oh, probably. I could look it up, but I've been too busy checking out the new KABC.com.
The new KABC.com?
Yeah, that's right. The new KABC.com. Totally retooled to be more content rich and easier to use. You can listen to and download your favorite KABC shows right on the podcast page. Check out video and pics they talk about on the air. Get breaking news, and you gotta see the brand new Daily Dose of Doug, McIntyre's best clip of the day with video.
Free and easy. The all new KABC.com.
Need some legal, moral, or just common sense advice from a friend? Call Alan Gervey and Carrie Kasem now at 800-222-KABC. That's 800-222-5222.
Nice music. Thank you, Colin. This is really great. I just want to listen to this music. So you are listening to Gervie's Law. I'm Alan Gervey. I'm here with Carrie Kasem, and we are going to introduce our first guest. He wrote the book, The Dealmaker's Ten Commandments, The Essential Tools for Business Forged in the Trenches of Hollywood. And he is the co-founder of the Cohn and Gardner Law Firm in Beverly Hills. He was a child actor. Now he is a lawyer extraordinaire. Variety has called him one of the deal on the, put him on the Dealmakers Impact List and the Legal Impact List. He is very hip. He went to Berkeley and UCLA. Smart guy, Jeff B. Cohn. Welcome to Gervie's Law.
Thank you for having me, Alan, Carrie. And if you had seen The Goonies, you would have recognized instantly that music in the beginning. It's a very key part of the film.
Oh, no, no. But, I know I've seen The Goonies so many times. Let me tell you,
goodness.
Too, why I've seen The Goonies so many times, too. When I was young, I dated Corey Feldman for a little
bit.
Whoa,
hey!
And we played that over and over again for anybody who would watch it. And no, I have nothing bad to say.
He in the Goonies?
Part. Yes.
Alan, you're killing me, man.
I'm
it's
sorry.
Like, it's one of the three classics of American cinema.
It.
It's like Citizen Kane, Casablanca, and Goonies.
I have
like,
seen I've seen Citizen Kane and Casablanca.
Actually, if you saw it, I'm telling you, you would love it, and your kids would love it.
I'm going to watch
they
it.
They had it in Canada. They had it in Canada. They distributed it.
They have nothing in Canada. I'm sorry. So you knew Corey Feldman?
Yeah, sure. I know Corey. Sure, yeah. We kind of, you know. We're Goonies. We're
and
Goonies
who else together. Was in the Goonies with you?
I was a Josh Brolin, Sean Astin, Martha Plimpton, Ke Kwan, and Cary Grant.
Yeah.
Wow, that's quite a cast. And of course, Richard Donner was the director.
Yeah.
That I know Richard Donner. Now
great
he helped
Donner.
You in his in your career
sure.
because I read somewhere that you were looking for some direction as you got a little older.
Sure.
It was time to kind of leave the acting thing behind you.
For sure. I mean, well, it was it wasn't my choice. It was puberty. Puberty had other ideas for my acting career.
Okay.
I went from kind of this, cute little chubby kid to kind of, awkward, pubescent kid. And it was kind of the involuntary career ender. And I was really fortunate because I still wanted to be an actor and I couldn't get work and I didn't know what to do. And I was what I didn't know at the time is I was beginning my evolution from chunk to hunk, kind of going through that challenging process. But during the time, Richard Donner, who directed Goonies, was a tremendous friend and let me be a production assistant for him and took me under his wing. And he would come in the office and I, would have brought in the Chinese food for everyone for lunch or, cleaned up the coffee that they just had. And he'd be like, hey, kid. He has this big boom voice. Hey, kid, what do you want to do when you grow up? I'm like, I want to be an actor, Dick. He's like, that's stupid. You're never going to be an actor.
Oh, gosh.
But you know what? It was he was right. As we say in the law, his position had the virtue of being true. And he was so kind. He took me under his
wing. That's great.
And he introduced me to different people at Warner Brothers and eventually, my first job as an entertainment lawyer was at Universal because he introduced me to Ron Meyer, who was his former agent who was running the studio. And he's been a great supporter. We had lunch actually earlier this week. So.
Oh, you did?
Yeah, I love him. He's the best.
You know, there's another when he goes from chunk to hunk. I was going to say, like Jerry O'Connell, you guys were, these cute little chubby kids.
Well,
and then you grew up really being, good looking guys and fit. And
but at the time,
so
he,
different.
When he was talking to all these guys and they were looking at him, he was from chunk to punk.
Yeah, maybe.
Because
he went from chunk punk to hunk.
Yeah.
You know what? I did kind of gloss over the punk stage.
Yeah,
Alan,
you
are right. It's kind of chunk to punk and then hopefully hunk. Hopefully come up. Oh, hey, there we go. See?
Now it's kind of funk.
No,
All right.
Okay, all right.
So we want to talk a little bit about your career now, although it's very exciting for me to meet you being chunk.
Sure. Well, I mean, the weight of being a cultural icon is heavy, but I do appreciate it.
Do people recognize you? Because you look so different.
Wait, he doesn't look the same as he was when he was 8 years
come
old?
Come on now. Come on now.
You know what's funny? Only like the really hardcore Goonies fans do. But for the most part, I mean, I'm in entertainment law, so I'm lucky if I'm the 10th most famous person in the room at any given time.
Do you go to the signings where people like will pay you to take pictures with them or with the cast and crew? This is so interesting to me.
I don't.
This is a law
show. I know. One second.
I don't, with one exception. In Astoria, Oregon, which is where they did the outdoor stuff for Goonies, the outdoor shots, they had a 25th anniversary, a 30th anniversary, and a 35th anniversary for Goonies. So I actually went out for that.
Okay.
And that was the blast. I mean, the people go nuts. There's, people, Goonies fans kind of from all over the world, which is crazy, but, kind of come in for it. And
so you'll go for the 40th? You'll go for the 40th?
I will.
Okay.
That's fun. So for me, that's like
awesome.
A kind of fun, different thing to do, but usually no.
Okay, now back to the law.
The law.
I want to talk about deal making here because this is something that is your forte. and you've written this really interesting book. It's got a lot of quotes in it. It's got a lot of advice in it. There's 10 commandments. And I read the book, and I was thinking, I really enjoyed the book, but I got to tell you that I do a lot of seminars for people on settlement negotiations and how to settle cases.
Okay.
In my line of law, we're always negotiating. We're always trying to settle. You know, I'm trying to get the biggest settlements ever. This past couple months have been great. I've been getting multi-million dollar settlements. And I take pride in that. And I give seminars on this. And I tell people step by step how to get into other people's heads, what kind of answers you should give when someone says something to you, how to settle cases. And then I realize that it's a really inborn thing. It's something that I have. It's my personality, and others do, of course. But people who take my seminars can't do it. They can't be Alan Gervie. So when I read this book here about deal making and all the great advice, isn't it true that it's very difficult for certain people to do the deals, to get through, and to be able to facilitate what you can do and what other, you know, high-level entertainment lawyers can do?
I think it is difficult, but I do think it can be taught. I mean, in the beginning of the book, I have a section. Well, first of all, thank you for reading the book, and I'm glad you enjoyed it. That's awesome. In the beginning of the book, I have a section called Chunk Meets Machiavelli. And I talk about kind of, you know, when you're an actor, the big idea is being loved, and you need to be loved. And that's kind of, that's where your power comes from, being loved. And I went from being loved as this cute, chubby kid to, you know, looking different and being ignored. And I couldn't understand it. It just kind of, it really broke me. And then I read this book called The Prince by Niccolo Machiavelli. And you studied political philosophy. We've all read The Prince. And I, in high school, I read this book. And Machiavelli said, is it better to be feared or is it better to be loved? And so for me, it was, of course, well, no, you want to be loved. That's the idea. But he says, no, it is better to be feared than loved, because people fear you because they have to. But they love you because they want to. And to build something powerful, you need to do it on something you can control. So for me, I had to completely flip my worldview and say, you know what? This actor's mentality is not working for me. It works for a lot of people, you know, a lot of my clients.
Yeah.
But it wasn't working for me. So I was able to kind of take like my natural, you know, inclination to be loved and flip it and understand, okay, Jeff, in business, it's different. You have to kind of find mechanisms of fear which give you control and then kind of build an empire based upon that. So I actually do think to a degree it can be taught.
You know, I think you're probably right, but when we talk about fear, it's about certain personalities. In fact, I've just met you. You seem like the nicest guy in the world. I don't fear you. I mean, I look at Donald Trump and I watch The Apprentice. I watched what he did to those people.
Sure.
I feared him. Apparently, what you're saying is true, because he has been extremely successful, whether you like him or not, based on a lot of bullying and fear. So do you differentiate? I mean, is this what this world is looking for with Donald Trump? You know, maybe these other people, Marco Rubio, who fears him, Marco?
I would go to Margaret Thatcher's quote, you know, being powerful is like being a lady. If you have to say that you are, then you're not.
That's right. My dad would always say, if you have to tell them who you are, you ain't.
Precisely.
Wow. I didn't even think of that.
Yeah.
But, you know, the point is well taken. Now, what do you think about Donald Trump's ability to cause fear? Is this what you're talking about when you talk about it? And it's the first commandment. When you talk about that, are you saying that that's what you need to be successful in deal making in Hollywood?
Well, in the beginning of the book, I have a warning section, and I start with a quote from George Fuller, which is, being good and great are seldom the same man. And I go on to say that this is a book about being great. It's not a book about being good. There are other books about being good. And I do think for the tactics that I advocate in the Dealmaker's Ten Commandments, I make the distinction of, hey, this is for business. This is not for dealing with, you know, lovers and family and pets and, you know, friends. Like this is very hard-nosed. And in my experience, business, whether it's entertainment, whether it's accounting, whether it's coal mining, whether it's tech, is brutal. And ask anyone who's worked at a job for 30 years to get laid off through no fault of their own, if business can get, you know, really cold really quickly. So I do think in business, to be powerful, you know, or to be successful, having a form of, you know, a mechanism to inflict fear can be quite helpful and sometimes necessary.
I think that makes a lot of sense. We have to take a break at the bottom of the hour, but we're going to talk more about this, and we're going to bring Neville Johnson into our conversation, who is a litigator, and he represents a lot of actors, writers, and directors. We're talking to Jeff Cohn, and we're talking about deal making and what involves how you can be successful at it. Carrie, you're successful for a lot of reasons. But you're not a mean or fearful person.
I'm not. I think, though, what's interesting, and that's, I'm going to talk about it after the break. Because
absolutely.
But I do have something interesting that I
know
I should
tell you
that somebody told me just
and
the other day.
And that's the cliffhanger right there, folks. We're going to break. You're listening to Gervie's Law.
Southern California residents. After 50 years, a landmark fine jewelry store is closing their doors. Cal Jewelry of Long Beach is liquidating their entire fine jewelry and giftware, now at 50 to 70% off its original price. Diamond, emerald, blue and pink sapphire, tanzanite, peridot, tourmaline, garnet, morganite, aquamarine, savorite, opal, rings, earrings, pendants, bracelets, and much more. Diamond stud, inside out hoop and halo earrings. Diamond bracelets, anniversary rings, mountings, and engagement rings. Watches, men's jewelry, estate jewelry, South Sea and freshwater pearls, 14 karat, 18 karat, and platinum, fancy yellow diamond rings, earrings, and pendants. This is a complete wall-to-wall store closing liquidation, including fixtures, showcases, and safes. Now 50 to 70% off all fine jewelry and giftware, including Yardrow and Swarovski collectibles. Cal Jewelry, closing their doors at 6291 East Spring Street, corner of East Spring and Palo Verde Avenue in Long Beach. Remember, tomorrow is Mother's Day. Open today, Saturday, 10 to 5. Don't miss it.
Any person who makes or causes to be made any knowingly false or fraudulent material statement or material representation for the purposes of obtaining workers' compensation benefits is guilty of a felony.
Another day at work. The pain is getting worse, and I'm afraid to say anything because I need this job, and I don't want to get fired. If I wasn't the only one supporting the family, I'd quit.
Is this you? Are you suffering every day while your injuries get worse, and there seems to be nowhere to turn? Or do you have an injury that was brought on gradually by repetitive motion, and now you can't perform your job duties at all? For over 35 years, the law firm of Rowan, Gervie, and Wynn has represented those who have sustained an injury on the job or have become disabled as a result of work. They're the experts in workers' compensation. You need an advocate. You need someone who cares about the injured worker. You need the law firm of Rowan, Gervie, and Wynn to get you through the nightmare. Friends, if you're suffering with a cumulative work injury, the law firm of Rowan, Gervie, and Wynn is in business to help you. Find out more. Call the law firm of Rowan, Gervie, and Wynn, 855-4-RGW-LAW. That's 855-4-RGW-LAW. Or go to rgwlawfirm.com. First consultations are free.
Welcome back to Gervie's Law, turning Murphy's Law upside down on Talk Radio 790 KABC.
Now we're back, and that's some cool music. Does this have anything to do with Dick Donner films or anything?
No, this is just, I don't know what this
maybe
is.
Maybe one of the Lethal Weapons? One of the Lethal Weapon 2?
No, this is horrific music. This is not a score. This isn't written by anybody who is...
Speaking of a score, Carrie.
Agree to agree.
In a few minutes, we're going to bring Neville Johnson on. He's, of course, the founding partner of Johnson & Johnson. Right here in Los Angeles, entertainment litigators, and he has a long history of representing a lot of people who have been screwed out of a lot of money by the big studio. So it's consistent with our theme today. Way back when, he represented Yoko Ono. He represented the heirs of Buddy Holly and Ricky Nelson, collecting royalties from record labels. He's a musician in his own right. We're going to ask him about Trevor McShane. I think that's his favorite singer. Are you familiar with Trevor McShane?
I'm not.
Okay, well, we'll ask Neville about that. But before we get to Neville, we want to ask Jeff B. Cohn, who we are speaking to. Of course, Jeff was Chunk back in the day in the Goonies, a child actor who turned into a lawyer superior and wrote a book on deal making. He's got his own firm here in town in Beverly Hills, Cohn and Gardner. Before the break, Carrie wanted to tell us a story.
Well, yes, Jeff was talking about, you know, being good or being great, and or being, is it better to be feared than loved? And I can't look at myself and say people fear me. I'm a tiny woman, and I'm not a very angry person.
No,
not anymore.
Well, you can be.
That. Yeah,
I think you're scary. But when that could just be me.
When someone's stalking you, you can get angry.
That's very true.
Okay, yeah. Go ahead.
So anyway, it's very interesting with my foundation that I've had for about 3 years, Kasem Cares, trying to prevent elder abuse. I've written to a few judges, and I've written to a few people who I found to be corrupt and wrong, and saying, look, I'm investigating this situation. I have a documentary. I send them the trailer to the documentary, and I write a nice letter, kind of like a legal letter. And I can change situations because they're afraid I'm going to bring it to the media. I called Dateline. I have a friend who works for Dateline. And there's something so horrible happening in New York, so horrible, involves, death and... money stolen. It was just a huge thing. And they went out there and called them. And so things are changing. But I don't think I'm a person that I'm not a scary person, but I guess I can do things that can be that can put fear in people. Is that what you mean? Is that kind of what he's talking about?
Yeah, that's right. That's right. It's never, one of the commandments is be a deal maker, not a deal breaker.
Okay.
And I kind of say, what is, as a negotiator, kind of at the end of the day, it's that line from Glenn Ross, ABC, always be closing, ABC, always
yes.
be closing,
yes.
right? So it's like you use fear as a mechanism, not to show everyone how smart you are, not to show how much damage you can cause, but it's a mechanism to achieve a goal. So I think that's right. It's a mechanism. And
that's a great point because that really puts it in perspective. Tell us a little bit about your practice now and how you implement these principles in your deal making today.
Sure. I'm a transactional entertainment attorney. So I have a boutique firm in Beverly Hills called Cohen Gardner LLP. Been around since 2002. When the world was young, I had hair back then. I was taller. It was a whole different time. So we basically will represent writers, directors, producers, production companies, tech companies, and we negotiate their deals. So kind of the big premise of the book is, how do you, craft a great deal? How do you manage your time? How do you deal with crisis? Basically the big idea is success is life on your own terms. And how do you discover what those terms are and get them? So day to day, I'm an advocate for my clients, and I have to make sure they get the best deal possible and that they're protected.
So I want to bring Neville Johnson into this conversation because
Great.
It dovetails well with what you're saying. Transactional. And people out there may not understand the difference between a litigator and a transactional attorney.
Sure.
So you're doing the deals.
That's right.
Then what happens is if a deal goes bad or if one of the writers, actors, directors, whoever doesn't get everything that they think they should, they need someone to go to court and to go against the big companies like Universal, which Neville has fought many times, to try to preserve the rights of these people who you've done the deals with.
That's right. That's
so
right.
Neville Johnson, welcome back to Gervie's Law. We're glad to have you.
Glad to be back.
You sound like you're far away. It's like you're in New York or something.
I am. I'm in New York. I'm in Manhattan.
Wow. So how's the weather out there? Is it still scorching hot?
Not so good.
I thought so. So we're talking with Jeff Cohn here, and he's talking about doing the deals. Now, you are well known in Hollywood for taking the rights and protecting the rights of these writers, actors, directors, whoever, and trying to show that they're getting screwed out of a lot of the benefits, the compensation, whatever it may be, royalties. How does it work from your perspective as a litigator?
Well, I'll say there's two categories. First is three situations I see arise commonly. One, people have not properly documented their deal. They've got an oral agreement. And, the famous line of Sam Goldwyn is an oral agreement isn't worth the paper it's written on. So,
right.
But that doesn't mean they don't have a valid binding agreement. So I get those kinds of cases. Then I get what I would call theft of idea cases where somebody pitches a project with the expectation of payment, and then they get ripped off. And we've done a lot of those cases, whether it's reality shows or game show or dramas, whatever it may be. And then the last one is net profits. Very, very few programs ever go into and movies ever go into net profits. Anecdotally, we'll say it's maybe 5%, perhaps as low as 2 or 3. Well, those people who are lucky enough to get into net profits, a lot of times aren't getting them overall. So we go in and we enforce their rights. That sometimes involves litigation, and sometimes you do an audit, and then you negotiate your way out of it.
But
so that's how it works.
Neville, doesn't it always come down to the evidence? Because you're in court all the time, and you know, you talk about someone stealing an idea. We learned in law school that ideas are as free as the air, and someone sitting, the famous case of sitting by a pool and overhearing something, and then all of a sudden it's being made and you're getting screwed. How are you able to bring the evidence together to prevail for your clients?
Okay, so here's the law on the subject. It's called, you have to make a pitch where there's an expectation of payment and the other side knows that you intend to be paid if they use your idea, and that they create what's called an implied contract. And you show it by saying, I went and I pitched this project to you, and the technical term is I gave you a leave behind, something in writing, or else there may also be emails saying such had such a great meeting and all the rest of that stuff. But I show it by showing that they had the meeting. Now, the defense is, you didn't have access. In other words, you never saw me. Or more commonly, independent creation. Somebody else came along with this project who had nothing to do with you. Too bad, you're out. But that's how it works.
That makes sense. Jeff, I want to ask you to jump in here. When you are counseling your clients, and potentially you know that these situations can occur where Neville's taking over and saying, hey, these people were screwed, how do you safeguard them against these kind of situations?
Sure. I have to be, I guess, simultaneously an optimist and a huge pessimist. Because, you know, as a deal, I come into play when the deal's coming together. And there are big dinners and, you know, everyone's having a martini and high-fiving each other about how much money we're going to make. And, hey, this is going to be awesome. And, right. You know, it can't go wrong. It's the perfect plan. Well, I have to be the one to kind of analyze the transaction, be like, hey, everybody, you know, let's give it a second here. And what if it does go sideways? What if this happens? You know, what if, you know, the idea doesn't sell? What if, you know, there's a problem with the intellectual property? What if, et cetera, et cetera? What if we can't get the right trailer for the talent? They need a massive trailer and the bowl of all yellow M&Ms. What if that doesn't work out precisely? What happens? So what I try to do is build mechanisms into the deal, kind of an escape hatch. If everything goes sideways, you know, even though the parties may not care about that, I have to make sure they do care about that. So, you know, it's my goal that the deal never gets to litigation. But, you know, even if you have the tightest contract possible, you know, as Neville said, you may have the best, you know, back-end profit participation, the way it's defined. But if the company is, you know, shirking their, you know, contractual obligations, you got to sue them.
What is the craziest thing you've had to put in a contract?
Oh, man.
Like, really, like some of these ridiculous demands.
You know what's funny? Okay, I'm going to go the other way with this. I'm going to go the other way with this. Because the kind of the quintessential, you know, like the silliest thing talent could want is like the bowl of all yellow M&Ms.
Right.
You know, like I need a bowl. And
have you done that, though?
I have not done the bowl of all yellow M&Ms, but I found the story on it. I found the story on that. I was actually with some clients on the road, and I was talking to their tour manager. And at the theater, you know, I was saying, oh, you know, that story about the, you know, in the dressing room.
See, I thought it was green M&Ms. I heard green. You heard yellow?
Let's say green.
Okay, I thought it was green.
Let's say green.
I heard that story.
And he was like, you know where that story comes from? I said, no. He said, well, back in the day, in the 70s, it was Van Halen. When they were touring, they had this long list of riders about the pyrotechnics and the lighting and about every single aspect and the sound and these, you know, multi-page rider for their live performances. And the last page was, you know, the booze they needed in the dressing room and then this and that. And the very last line was the bowl of green M&Ms. So when they went into their dressing room, when they pulled into Houston or, you know, Idaho or whatever, and the first thing they did is they would go to their dressing room. And if they saw that the bowl of green M&Ms was there, they could be confident that the rest of the elements regarding the lights, the pyrotechnics, was great. If it wasn't there, they knew they had to start at square one.
They weren't paying attention.
Precisely.
That's exactly the story I heard. And when I was on tour with Motley Crue, they would have these crazy writers, right? And Nikki Sixx had one where it says he had all this stuff that he wanted, and the last thing was Python. And the ones, I'm not kidding you.
Python?
And the like, Python, like a snake.
Like a snake.
A snake, right?
Wow.
So the ones that actually paid attention put stuffed animals, pythons, in the room. And in a couple times, we had these fake snakes.
Wow.
So they, yeah, it was exactly for
that's
that
how
reason.
You knew.
Yeah.
They saw the
yeah,
python,
yeah.
They're like, hey, it's
yeah.
cool, you know.
Before we let Jeff go, because I want to talk to you, Neville, in the next segment, we're going to talk about the calculation of net profits and forensic auditors and that stuff. But I do want you two to face off on this issue of fear, because in Jeff's book, his first commandment deals with developing the ability to be feared to be successful in Hollywood. You have been known, Neville, as someone who is feared. People, especially big companies, studios like Universal, are afraid when they see your name on a lawsuit regarding preserving the royalties or getting the back-end compensation, whatever it is. Do you take pride in that, or do you think that's a fallacy?
The reason the studios are trepidatious is because we follow through. A lot of firms will negotiate up to the point of litigation, but they won't file. We will. And then we have the wherewithal and experience to take it all the way. So sometimes we'll go 4 or 5 years, which we have, and ultimately, you know, get a good settlement or result overall. You know, do I want to be feared? No, but I mean, I'm not there to have tea with these people, and I'm not in the deal-making business necessarily. What I do want to do, though, is be a gentleman, because at the end of the I don't want them to hate me personally. I want to make a settlement at the end of the day. So that's sort of the tightrope that I have to walk overall.
I think that's well put, because I feel the same way. I think a lot of people fear me. I know they do. But it's not just because I'm a jerk, and you know that may be the case, but it's because of my hard work and what you just said, Neville, the preparation and the willingness to take it to the nth degree until you get what you want for your client, until you can get justice for your client. That's something in and of itself that causes fear for the other side, not just because you're Donald Trump and you're a bully and you're going to say nasty things about the other person. Jeff, just for the last word here on this discussion, tell us what you think. How does that play into what you are saying in your book about deal making?
Well, I think I think you're right. We have to be professionals. But if someone who's negotiating with your lawyer says, "Your lawyer is the nicest guy. He's so nice. Wow." Yeah. Fire that lawyer. You need to fire your lawyer immediately. I never want anyone I'm negotiating against to be like, "Your lawyer is so nice."
Exactly.
It's just nice. That's the last word you want to hear about your lawyer.
And that's the last word we're going to hear from Jeff today. But I really agree with, I'm glad you brought that up, because I'm certainly not that guy. Jeff B. Cohn, the book is called The Dealmaker's 10 Commandments, 10 Essential Tools for Business Forged in the Trenches of Hollywood. Of course, Jeff can be found in Beverly Hills with his firm, Cohn & Gardner. Thanks for being with us. And I am going to, I promise you, I'm going to watch Goonies. I'm going to look for you, Chunky.
Please. Alan, thank you for having me. Carrie, thank you for having
you
me. It's
it.
A real pleasure. Real
okay,
pleasure.
We're going to take a quick break. We'll be back with Neville Johnson after this word. You're listening to Gurvey's Law right here on Talk Radio 790 KABC.
Any person who makes or causes to be made any knowingly false or fraudulent material statement or material representation for the purposes of obtaining workers' compensation benefits is guilty of a felony.
Another day at work. The pain is getting worse, and I'm afraid to say anything because I need this job, and I don't want to get fired. If I wasn't the only one supporting the family, I'd quit.
Is this you? Are you suffering every day while your injuries get worse, and there seems to be nowhere to turn? Or do you have an injury that was brought on gradually by repetitive motion, and now you can't perform your job duties at all? For over 35 years, the law firm of Rowan, Gervey, and Wynn has represented those who have sustained an injury on the job or have become disabled as a result of work. They're the experts in workers' compensation. You need an advocate. You need someone who cares about the injured worker. You need the law firm of Rowan, Gervey, and Wynn to get you through the nightmare. Friends, if you're suffering with a cumulative work injury, the law firm of Rowan, Gervey, and Wynn is in business to help you. Find out more. Call the law firm of Rowan, Gervey, and Wynn, 855-4-RGW-LAW. That's 855-4-RGW-LAW. Or go to rgwlawfirm.com. First consultations are free.
Do you like hot rods?
Oh, yeah!
Food?
Yeah, I could do a snack.
Good music? I'll take that as a yes.
Mark your calendar for Saturday, May 14th, and join 790 KABC at the 11th annual Edelbrock Car Show at Vic's Garage in Torrance. Check out some of the sweetest hot rods your peepers ever laid eyes on. Refuel your gut with some of the tastiest bites from LA's most popular food trucks and restaurants. Talk about gassing yourself up. There's even a Hot Wheels racing track to keep the kiddies entertained. And it's all free. The 11th annual Edelbrock Car Show at Vic's Garage, Saturday, May 14th. Get all the specs at KABC.com.
Need some legal, moral, or just common sense advice from a friend? Call Alan Gervey and Carrie Kasem now at 800-222-KABC. That's 800-222-5222.
Yeah, we're back. I'm Alan Gervey, and we are speaking to Neville Johnson, founding partner of Johnson & Johnson, one of the top 100 power lawyers in entertainment law, named by the Hollywood Reporter from 2008 to the present, trial lawyer of the year, Variety said top 50 lawyers in entertainment, and of course, the LA Times talked about him in an article as the go-to LA lawyer who says that Hollywood studios are shortchanging his clients. Neville, let me ask you this. Is that a popular position to take when you say that your clients are being shortchanged by the big studios, or do people not have much sympathy for some of these writers, actors, directors who are making a boatload of money doing the work that they do?
Now, everybody knows that talent is being disadvantaged by the studios almost all the time. That's just kind of the way of the world. And everybody supports me, if not openly, at least tacitly. They want me to go out and protect. The problem with these kinds of cases is that talent that is currently working is afraid of being blackballed to take on the studios, and a lot of times they're just not going to do anything, or they're going to settle very cheaply overall. So that's sort of the issue. So a lot of the clients that I have are estates or people who aren't working anymore, or people who don't give a darn and say, I want to do this because it's righteous.
How come the calculations of net profits haven't been or hasn't been standardized? And why aren't there more ways for the studios to be transparent so you don't have to keep reinventing the wheel every time when you're trying to show that they're they're basically not showing the profits that they have, that the accounting that's going on behind the scenes is really improper and invalid?
Well, the cases come in a wide variety. For older contracts, they were not necessarily taking into account the new technologies that came in. I mean, who envisioned streaming 25 years ago? And that is becoming the dominant way that money is going to be earned in the business now. And the questions are, do those contracts cover that? And if they do, what is the percentage going to be? So that's typically one of the things that happens. Secondly is contractual interpretation overall. I assure you that the studios invariably are going to take, if there's any ambiguity, are going to take the position that is most favorable to them. That's just the way it goes. So you have to fight that sometimes. And then sometimes there's just sheer out deviousness, and that's why the audits come into play. And then finally, you know, profits don't come sometimes until 5 years later, after that motion picture or television show has been on the air. It takes a while. By then, people may have moved on, or, you know, they're thinking, maybe I ought to take a look at it right now. And that's when you discover these things. Almost every audit finds money. I'll say that.
When the studios find out, or a record label find out that someone has hired you to represent them, whether it's a musician or an actor, they've hired you. Do you find that you are going to probably get a settlement, or that they fear you, as opposed to somebody getting another lawyer that's not used to dealing with, let's say,
absolutely. Yeah, no, absolutely. I mean, we have a certain degree of credibility, but don't think that if I go in and ask for a bundle of money, they're just going to roll over.
Right,
they
right.
don't. And I will commend or compliment the studios. They get some of the toughest, smartest lawyers, respected guys and ladies in town, and they fight like banshees, you know.
And do you know them? I mean, is it something like, okay, it's you again, well, hello again, and you are you used to being in the courtroom with these guys? Have you created any kind of friendship with them, too? Because it's...
There's something called the Los Angeles Copyright Society, and we all go. It's a lot of defense lawyers, and I'm there. And, you know, and then I see him at the Hollywood Power Lawyer thing. And, you know, we shake hands, and we're friendly and all the rest of that stuff. Look, they love me in part because, you know, I saw in one of these recent things when I was named that five or six of the other lawyers were talking about, what are you doing? Well, they're defending cases I brought. I'm keeping these guys in business, and I'm putting their kids through Harvard Westlake.
Right.
That's true. And in fact, that's what Gary Bostwick, a Los Angeles attorney, said when he said, I've got a new case that Neville brought. Their attitude is, we're in for a fight. This is serious stuff. And Gary Bostwick has represented Fox, Sony, NBC, and CBS. So it is a big business for everyone. But of course, what we're interested in is justice. As an attorney, I know Neville, just like me, is looking to see, as he said, there is money that is not being paid out, and it should be. And why shouldn't someone represent the interests of the people? Now, do you see things change? We only have a couple minutes, Neville, but do you see things changing in Hollywood in the future? Or will the studios always have the power and have the juice when it comes to this issue?
Yes, they will. They will always have the power. No, I don't see things changing, and the reason is because it is so tough to make it in the business. It's so competitive for talent. The studios hold all of the cards overall, and it's just it's tough, but you can, and people do make money, and God bless them. But I'll just say, for example, I've looked at some of these reality show contracts, you know, for contests, for singers and things like that. You wouldn't believe how onerous these things are. But on the other hand, that's how you make it in society and then, or to become successful, and then you hope you can renegotiate somewhere down the line. But
right.
It's a one-sided world is the way it is, and it's not getting any better.
My friend tried out for The Voice, and she made it until she got the contracts. She read through the contracts, and they would own her for 7 years, own all her music, own everything. And she had this huge, extensive library, and that would have been theirs, too. And she said, because of that contract, absolutely not.
Right.
I'm not doing this.
You know, Carrie, before we have to close right now, but I did talk about Trevor McShane. I said that, you know, is one of my favorite artists.
You did.
And Carrie, you're not familiar.
I
don't know.
I know the name.
You know
I
the
just
name.
Could not. I yeah.
Wasn't he on The Voice? Neville, do you know anything about Trevor McShane?
Trevor McShane is the stage name I use. I lead a band. I write songs.
That's
I
why I heard him. Alan talked about
I have CDs and downloads out. I am playing July 1st and 2nd at McCabe's. I'm opening for Mitch Ryder.
Wow.
Oh, that's awesome.
I have a rockin' band, and also I have just released a book called What Took You So Long? 167 love poems to my wife.
So you are awesome. Writer, publisher, of course, you and your wife publish. And it does give you an opportunity to have an outlet because it is tough. We've talked about deal making today. We've talked about being in the trenches. And it is stressful. And Neville, you are one person who has used your artistic talents to, you know, as Trevor McShane, your band, publishing, your poetry. I'm sure it gives you the balance you need in this tough business.
And I also wrote the authorized biography of legendary Coach John Wooden, which, you know, and he talks about having balance in your life. And you know what he said? The two most important words in the English language are love and balance. How about that?
And I love
think the same thing goes for lawyers and everybody in this world.
And I don't think people realize in the pyramid of success that that's part of the pyramid of success.
You bet.
Okay, Neville, I want to thank you. I know you're in New York. We appreciate you being on. Good luck with everything. And again, what was that, July 1st? Is that where people can see?
July 1st and 2nd, McCabe's.
McCabe's. All right, have a great weekend, and thanks for being on Gervie's Law.
Thank you.
Bye.
All right.
So, see, isn't it interesting how lawyers have so much going on? They're not all just these
I think it's great. I think that's great that he has another outlet. that he actually sounds human. I've met lawyers that I wouldn't want to spend 5 minutes alone in a room with.
Yes. Most of them I don't want to spend 5 minutes, and I have to. I'm in trial all day with them, and I want to kill them. But let's turn to something. Love, harmony, and peace. It's Mother's Day tomorrow. Everyone have a great Mother's Day. It's a time to share your love, your caring, all be on the same page for at least a day. Treat your moms well, and if you don't have your mom, remember her to the best that you can. Again, I talked about my mom. Happy Mother's Day to my mom, and I talked about my wife, Nancy. Happy Mother's Day to Nancy. And, Carrie, I'm sure you want to reiterate
your... And I do. My mom, Linda, happy Mother's Day. My sister and her two kids, happy Mother's Day, Julie. And for all the people who have animals as children, happy Mother's Day to you, too.
Right. Thank you for listening to Gervie's Law. We will be back next week, Saturday at 2 o'clock, same time on Talk Radio 790 KABC. We appreciate you listening. Have a great week. Have a great weekend. And keep the face hanging there.
This show furnished by Rowan, Gervie, and Wynn.